everyone. This is the Breaking Smart Contract workshop. We have more people here, but I'm Cheyenne, Dean, John. We are part of Consensus Diligence. We do smart contract security and code auditing. If you have any security consultation or you want to work on dApps, we are here to help. You can go to our website, read audits, and like know more. And also Meetlix team, which is smart contracts. How would you explain that? Like, it's security as a service. Yeah, it's a tool you can run and see if your code has like the common mistakes or not. So the agenda here is like we do this quick intro. We go through like the high level introduction to Ethereum, just to know we are in the same space. And we walk through some of the tools we have, like Remix, some of the ones that you can start playing around with Ethereum. And more details on how Ethereum works, how the memory works. We demo a few tools to make it easier for you to actually get through these challenges, and also some of those capture the flags or CPFs. And we have a few challenges at the end that we try to hack together. We were hoping to have a 2 hours workshop with the desk and proper setups. So we're gonna just shrink everything in 1 hour and probably do more question and answer interactive than getting it. So for your background, I'm gonna ask John. You can tell us about that.
Question should I take?
Just for the
What like is the familiarity of the group here? Like, has everybody written a smart contract at some point, more or less? Do you feel like you understand, like, you understand what the state looks like and like logs and opcodes and things like that? Okay, I'll go super fast. It'll take 5 minutes.
Great.
But it's good to review, and somebody probably didn't want to admit that they don't know all these things. So Ethereum. What is Ethereum? Ethereum is like this. All of these accounts, they have these four properties. Every single account has a known, a balance, code, maybe a caveat, and maybe storage. So the state is made up of this great big list of accounts. There are contract accounts and external accounts. External accounts don't have code, don't have storage. There's opcodes. They do things in the VM. There you go.
Sorry.
It
didn't
seem like
I needed to. Yeah, okay.
Let's
go next,
okay.
And then talk about these.
So this is useful to be reminded of, even if you're familiar with this stuff, in the context of like security, that there are these two types of transactions. You can just send money or send the ETH from one externally owned account, EOA, to another. Or you can send to a contract, and the magic happens when you send the ETH to a contract, send this transaction. The contract can do like any other sort of internal transactions, message calls, it's sometimes called. This creates a state transition. Contracts can call each other. And this is like, it gets worse, right? Like, I heard recently that we're at, like, there are, the average call depth on the mainnet is like at like getting deeper all the time, and contracts are more because of like increasing composability. At some point we stopped saying interoperability. ETH 2.0 took interop away, and now we say composability. I just figured that out, but so this composability is creating a lot more complexity. Things are happening a lot more deeply in the call stack. And that may have interesting implications. I haven't thought a lot about. Can everybody hear me at the back, or do I need to project more? Okay. Gas. There's gas. I think you all know there's gas. But block gas limit, that's really important. Actually, gas is. Who here subscribes to my newsletter? Morellian's Smart Contract Security Newsletter, right? So I can't stop talking about, like, I want to do a newsletter that's not about gas. But it's the most interesting thing to me really right now. So the block gas limit, that can get you in a lot of trouble if you run out of all the possible gas that any miner will ever give you. And then if your opcodes just change in price and you were counting on them not doing that, sorry. there's a table of opcos with gas prices. I made these slides, so blockchains have blocks. That's the wow.
Yeah, there are a few things there that one was like for the gas price.
Yeah.
So if you increase gas price even by one way, miners would mine that and prioritize that over the other one. So you can front run or get ahead of like the other transaction by just increasing the gas price for one way. Or the fact that the block size, the limit is like, because blocks are limited or scarce. So you can do some like crypto economist plays or like some attacks based on that. Those are just overall those kind of things.
Front running is, if you want to talk front running, go deep on that, talk to Cheyenne. He's written some really interesting.
Yeah, there's a lightning talk tomorrow at 4 about lightning, that overall front running taxonomy. So,
yeah.
So I can't take over time.
All right.
So as I said, this was supposed to be a more hands-on workshop, but you're gonna be, I'm gonna be hands-on, and you can also follow if you are interested. So, I just gotta.
Tell them about the link.
Yeah, you can go to this link. There's also on the whiteboard. And if you go to this link, I'm just gonna open this. And make it bigger. So you're going to see this gist here, which is a bunch of challenges. You can click on challenge one. Actually, before doing that, click on solidity, so click on challenge one. You can see a challenge here. Like these are not challenges. I just want to like make sure we are on the same level. Before that, one thing you can do, just to know exactly, like, again, we are on the same level. Like, this is Solidity. I guess everyone here is familiar with Solidity source code. But it doesn't do anything special here. It just have a variable name, owner, and it just, when you say hi, it mentions and it puts the name in the name and emits a hi name. So nothing really special here. So there's a few things I want you to know. One is like about this slide that things are public, is that if you go to Robsten, which is Etherscan Robsten, which you can see every information on blockchain and what is happening. So let's say if you want to store a value, I'm getting ahead of myself. Going again here. So you want to store a value on blockchain, don't ever store secrets or anything. You might know that, but you might not know how that works and what that means. So a lot of times in smart contracts, the memory starts at here, so it's called slot zero. So how you can see that, you can actually see the wherever the memory is stored, so you can actually go here and and UTF-A and see the memory, the thing that constructor will use. So you can actually read the text that was passed to the contract through these data. They have gibberish too, but there is this data here too. So I'm working on this other tool called Legions for now. Merchant is really beta. I'll send a link on Twitter later on. But this is something to be able to like easily poke around nodes and smart contracts. So like in this case, I just want to show you like what I mean by this. So let's say this smart contract, I just copy the address, and okay. So I run this tool, so this tool has like nice interface, can do tells, gives you like all the information that there is. So in this case, what we need is to connect to a node, which is now I use Robsten in Vero, just to, you can use your own node or connect to any node. By default, it's connected to mainnet. Here, it's connected to testnet to just be able to like query things. So it gives you a bunch of options. Like, so this tool, you can check it out later. It's not important here. I just want to show you how you read storage. Like in this case, I want to read, like when you do query, you can read the balance, details of a block, code of a smart contract, do some cryptographic things, and even read storage. So in this case, I want to read the storage on this address that I just copied. So imagine that you have a secret in that smart contract. So when I click, it goes query the first 10 storage there. So this is what's smart contracts of EVMCs, but this tool also tries to like cast that to stream. So it reads the first 10 storage and you can see like even though that storage should not be visible from outside, I mean based on traditional software development, it is. So we can read hello dev on here. There are other tools here you can use. This tool, as I said, is not part of this workshop necessarily, but go around play it. If you want to add function to it, functionality to it, it's like perfect. And as I said, like I really like this whole interface of the command line and nice interface. So getting back to where we were, yeah, if you go to this link that that link kick.to, we're gonna go through a bunch of challenges. One is this challenge one that if you look, it's really simple. It has a balance. When you open the balance, it has like 10 you can buy. And whether you pass on it, it adds to your balance and can burn and whatever that you have. Specify it's going to burn. Do you see any way to have an infinite balance here?
It will underflow.
Yeah, exactly. Do you want your drip levels now? Do you want to like showcase the tool?
I want to throw a lot.
They showcase how easier it has. Let me think.
Yeah. Next
one. So you basically did how a code editor finds a spot. Like go through the code, find what that is. There are some tools like Mythics that you mentioned that makes it easier to actually find these common bugs.
Okay, here we go. Yeah. Challenge one. People here use Remix. Anyone? Remix? Remix is great. So one of the great things that we've been working on lately is this MythX platform, which is a security as a service tool that like you throw smart contracts at it and then it throws back a bunch of bugs at you. So like it's pretty great. Another awesome thing is it's built right into Remix. So if you do the plugins thing, type MythX, it goes up, you hit that activate button. And as it turns out, if you load in challenge one while you hit the Remix thing and you hit the analyze button, the screenshot is already set up. It's all clicked on the right thing. Anyway, so you see you hit the analyze button and it spits out the issues on the bottom. You click on the issues and then it actually goes to the line of code. That's the thing. So super convenient, super neat. Good way to cheat on workshops. Yeah, very cool. Also, if you create an account on mythx.io, you'll have like persistent results. If you just do the scan with Remix, it does it with kind of like a sample address, and it goes away when you hit refresh. But if you create your own account, you can set up the account with your credentials, and that's kind of nice. Also, if you want to pay money, it's a freemium service, so like you don't have to pay money, but if you do pay money, you get much deeper scans, like if you have large contracts that will actually spend a long time on like symbolic execution buzzing, like it goes a lot deeper into sort of like better buzzing, it's great. So do that, pay us money. There's also these command line tools which are great. Sabre MythX, if you like JavaScript stuff, MythX CLI if you like Python stuff. They both have like the truffle integration, that's pretty good. Other goodness. Yeah.
So this is mainly for the more hands-on one, but if you guys need drops and testnets or anything, can either go to faucet.metamask.io or ping me. I have like a question on the phone. I can just send it to you right now. Just to like finish what Dean was saying. So here, like let's say for this challenge, Mythics is here. Like when you install it to plugins, so Mythics is here. You can just press analyze. And it actually looks for you and finds all the issues. So here, it says that you can overflow, even though like if you're looking at that, you're passing message as value, so that means someone should send that much money to overflow, which is less realistic. But this one is the amount that is user input, so you can easily underflow, as you said, and do that. So that's the goal.
There we go. Wait, you're getting three of them. These are juggling balls, not hacky sacks.
You can't use that hacky sack.
Shh. I'm documenting these cases.
All right, so we touched on these, but so if gas runs out for any reason, your function calls reverse, and the whole state change doesn't happen anymore. And there are fallback functions that will be invoked if you just don't mention any function names, or you mention a function name that doesn't exist. So that has been there for some of the attacks that the transaction does not exist and it runs a fallback function. And so its documentation is the best place to look at. We're going to introduce some other ones too. So this is where I jumped ahead myself. So I want to talk about the warehouse storage is stored, and I already talked about these legions, which this is a link if you want to download and look at. I already showed them to you. But there is also this blog post from one of my colleagues. If you just, the link was long, so this is the best way to find it. If you Google understanding Ethereum smart contract storage and click on this program, theblockchain.com, this is a good blog. It goes around the different patterns, how to implement like arrays, how to implement different things. And if you have any questions there, just hit us up at Diligence Team. You can, the author works there, so. So the other challenge, we just talked about like how to store, how not to store secrets right there on the smart contract. Just kind of stand up so it's much easier. So in the traditional way, the best way to store store passwords is to hash it, right? So you can hash a password in Solidity Delete Keshek, so you can just hash, save the keshek, and use that. So this seems like a good way, right? If anyone looks at the variable, they still cannot guess what the password is. But it really depends on how you store that. So everything on Ethereum is deterministic and public. So in this case, if you go on challenge 2, is it big enough? Do you guys see? So yeah, this is simple. Like for people that have done Solidity code, this might be too simple. But so this is just a contract that gets the password, saves the password, and later on you can guess the password and get the money out from there. So in this case, like you might say that like anyone sending a guest password transaction, you can see the password and run it. But even before that, you can just add the same way as we were doing before. Go to Robst and just see the password there. Like that's as easy as it gets. Like so, the constructor, you can go there and I feel like this is a transaction we did for another conference. Yes, this is for NodeSync. But like you can see the contract there. So it's the easiest way. You can even still do tools and read some other ways. All right, so the other thing that a lot of people get confused about that is the entropy of randomness. So can you get some applications that you might need randomness for? It's like games gambling, lotteries. So it's a lot of use, and promotion of blockchain has been on these kind of applications too. We don't see this that much these days, where we can get randomness. Because early on people start to use different aspects, even timestamp for the randomness. But all those people can guess or they can just enumerate on them. So they're like, all right, let's try to use some other things that are not known from before, like the block hash, or like hash the block hash, or like some other variation of that. So let's see if that works or not. So we have this other challenge 3, which basically is this one. It's a lottery. It has one Ethereum in there. So you have to pass a number and put some value in there because you have to pay for your lottery ticket. And this part is using the hash of the last block, and you hash that, and it turns to a number, and if your guess is the same as the number, it transfers you this much value. So this seems to be like a random, like you wouldn't know, but how would you guess this, or how would you win this lottery?
I would write a smart contract that does this calculation and then holds a lottery function with the right number.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah, balls.
I'm here for the balls, so.
So one great point here is like, in order to attack this contract, you have to write a contract, deploy a contract, and use that contract to attack this contract. So you go to the same, you run your code in the same environment that this code is running at the same time. So here, in order to attack this, you have to write.
Yeah. Well, yeah, good question. Do we actually have to write a separate smart contract? Since this is looking at the previous block, you could just look if that wins the lottery and then send the transaction with a high way and basically get it to the next block.
That's possible you're risking because there's a 15 second block. So if you miss that block, you miss that money. You have to send another transaction.
Oh, makes sense.
You can try to get in, but it's a race. But there's a short chance.
This is much more elegant and easy to pull off.
Yeah, like there has been some other lotteries like that, and we've seen attacks that people send like 1,000 transactions just to make sure they get in. But that means if you miss one block, you mean all those
transactions. Like, I don't know, if you looked at the Coinbase of the current block, you'd have to brute force this, but since it's in the previous block, there's both ways to guess.
Yeah, but that's a race. Like, that's
can you know the coin?
No, you can't load the block, the hash of the current block.
Yeah, there's no hash of the current block.
It's specified at runtime.
Yeah. So that's why it's using it, I guess. So let's attack this together here. So I'm cheating, I have the commented code here, just to say this. So what you do is So one thing is that you don't need to have a full function here, you can just have the interface, but this is easier for now for us. And as I said, this was supposed to be something you solve, but I just solved it here. So what you have to do is, I'm going to have one extra. So now, in this case, what I need to do is, I already deployed this before on blockchain, so we can check this transaction, there's this much ether. So what I've got to do is just deploy this transaction. So it deploys a contract. So I think I know why this was, this doesn't have a function. One trick is to change this to constructor. So you don't have to deploy and call the function again. So in this case, you have to deploy this contract called attack with the input of the target, which is the target's address. And you have to pass some value in there. So what it does is it calls target lottery function, which is this function, with some value, which is the message.value. This value is how much money it is attached to that. And with the number that this contract is calculating here as well. So if the number is the same, it sends out. One easy way to make it more ethically good hack is self-destruct, so you would get the money back and clear the blockchain. So here we just compiled. We use the injected FT. So we're using MetaMask here, just making sure I'm not attacking on mainnet.
Construction of M94?
That's employing the right one.
Didn't construct the keyword come out in 5, not 4?
Yeah. Sorry, what's that?
Didn't construct the keyword come out in 5, not 4?
Oh. I think it was late 4.
There's this error, so it says
free juggling balls to whoever does
yeah.
it.
Get a typo
there's
there.
A typo on you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, alright. One more juggling ball? So, okay, let's compile this. Yeah. Alright, so the address was this address. They were asking before some transactions, so we got a bit confused. We pass this address, we deploy on the transaction on there, but we try.
Don't you forget to fall back.
Sorry? Fall back?
Fall back. I see.
No, here, so it's trying to set this up and do message or sender, so it's going to send it back to...
Oh no, but how? Oh, smart
yeah.
contract will
I send. Who's calling? Wait, what's it calling?
That's going to work. Who is sorry, to call it target.
Message or sender. Message or sender is, the, is like you.
It's
me,
yeah.
Okay, so that should be fine.
Let's see if this.
Oh.
It's not here again. Okay, something's wrong. It's failed.
But what makes sense?
You're right. Like, you can send any value in there. Yes.
Why is that one reset then?
Alright, let's try this again.
Just add folder.
The problem was, so here, this contract accepted us to send some money with that. And we didn't have any money attached to this transaction. So that's why that transaction failed. So we send this other transaction now. Yes, so as you can see, we transferred one way to this address, and it sends us, this is like 1337 way, but it's not showing it properly. So we now won the contract, and it self-destruct after that. So in order to see it much better, maybe this is a better way to seeing it. So in terms of transaction, you can see, it sent one way, got this much ether, sent it back to the message just sender, and self-destruct. Alright, so one of the main points of this was to say that you can attack a contract with another contract. Just to get to the same environment, attack it using the same code, same environment, same variables, everything that other contract has access to. Is there any questions or comments about this? The debugging was fine? Alright, so this is like similar example, but like in the sense that like you need a contract to have that kind of contract. But it goes back to the DAO story, and I hope everyone here knows about DAO and know what we learned about DAO from that. That smart contracts are hard, just don't put that much money on them. So the DAO is from Classic. Do you know the relation between from Classic and DAO? It started from there. And we had USA attack. So the USA attack patterns, I can go slower here because I think I'm going so fast. But
lost the other two.
Yeah. Am I going too fast?
No.
Okay, fine.
Is it too slow?
Stop. Is it too slow? Okay, you might need more challenges. Right? So the DAO attack mainly was like the two lines of code that should have been replaced the other way around. So here you can see that the value so someone can call withdraw, it checks if the balance is fine, it sends the value to the caller, it reduces the balance of the caller by that value, and this was the pattern. So this was, something was wrong here. And what was wrong was that here the attacker can have a contract that is the basically the balance holder. And the balance holder can call withdraw. So this is the fallback function that we were saying. Function basically calls this withdraw again. So how the attack works is the attacker calls this attack function, which calls the victim function, which is a DAO, to withdraw one way or one unit of token. Then checks the balance, sees the balance, and it calls and sends one way or one token to the attacker. An attacker, as we said, the fallback function gets executed when there's no other function assigned to that. So it calls this variable, it runs withdraw again, and this goes on back and forth, and it drains the contract. So would you say this attack, this code would work for this kind of attack?
Yeah, no.
Why is that?
Because there's no stop condition.
Yeah, exactly. So you run out of gas here, so you can't just do infinite loops.
That was good.
You can't just do infinite loops here, like it goes out of it runs out of gas.
Yeah, maybe you repeat the stack sequence.
Yeah, exactly. Then you can't really run something like that. So there are a few checks you can do here. One is there's this output called gas left. You can check how much gas is left, but you have to do a little math there to see if I should do another call or not. There's another way to say if the balance of the, like if this balance here, if this balance is like how much is left here, check that. You have to have an exit condition there, because you can't really run it forever, like it doesn't ever stop. And if it runs out of gas, as you said, you revert, so you lose all the balances that you tried to hack in there. So, as you said, at the end, $180 million or something like that were stolen because these two lines should have been the other way around. That's what makes like security and smart contract really hard, because it seems fine, but it should be at the other way around. And there's a pattern that says check effects and interaction, so you can check. Check and do the effect and then do the interaction. So people shoot from the other way. So for this, we're going to try to do a reentrancy attack and steal money from this charity. This is just for educational purposes. So, yeah, let's show you that. So the contract we have here is pretty simple. You have the mapping that. This is a really common pattern in token contracts and other contracts. So we have this array of balance, like mapping of balances that holds the balances. There's an event that doesn't really matter. Constructor, so it requires one to have one ether in there, and it adds that one ether to the message just sender balance. So anyone can donate it's payable, like anyone can donate to their own balance. They donate to the charity, they get the balance. You can check your balance, and you can withdraw. As you can see, it's using the same pattern as the DAO. So it checks the balance, it sends that out, and if you succeed, this is like the new upload that was added in 35. It just emits an event and reduces the deducts the balance. So we want to attack this. I want to make it more interactive as possible, but I don't know exactly how not to show you the solution. And so the best way to do this, let's try to write it together. Or let's try this. What would be the stop condition here if you want to do a withdraw attack? How would you try to what stops you from doing this loop of draining the contract?
If the total balance of the contract is smaller than my balance on the contract.
So you want to get more than half of the balance?
No, if nothing is left, if my call will fail because it runs out of balance, then I stop before that happens.
I mean, if your balance, you're just loading your balance.
Right? Yes, if the balance in the mapping on my address is bigger than the total balance of the contract.
Yeah, totally
underflowed
that.
It just means if he has 1 and the total balance is 100, or say he has 0.5, he doesn't want to try and withdraw 1. Okay, that would be bad. It would actually catch that.
Yeah, I'm just kind of code here and cheap, I guess. So this is basically equivalent using Stack Overflow to where things more. Just copy code and try to make it work.
It always works.
Yeah, exactly. So here, the attack here, we are using the constructor because it's easier here to do, but then you can call attacks. So here, you have to donate first. You have to have a balance in that charity to be able to attack. Because if not, when you call it balance, withdraw, it checks if you have a balance in there or not. So the first step is to do that balance. So in constructor, we pass the target address, which is the challenge, which is we need to have that in the same place. And then we donate the message that value that passed to this deployment. And then later after that, we have to call this attack. So I'm going to just deploy it and then run walk through that with you. So challenge for after. What is the address here? This is the address. I'm just going to show you here that there's a balance here. So there's this much balance there. I would say this transaction should fail. Exactly. So he didn't put any value here, so it doesn't matter. If you put 10 way here, call this again. Alright, so let's just wait for this to come. Mine. Alright, so after this mine, what it does is it sends whatever we send this to to the charity, and I think I've got that. So as you can see, it created this contract and it sent 10 way to our charity. So in here, we should see that we have the balance for that contract. If you want to check, there's also this easy way to check. Just want to make sure. There's easy way to check a lot of things here. You can use challenge for, which is the charity. First, at address, you don't have to deploy it again. You can just get access to to access to the functionality that there is. So now we can check the balance of the smart contract, which is the smart contract. You can check the balance, and it is 10. As you said, 10 way, and we are 10.
Does the Mintex tool plugin check this?
You'll see. Does the Mintex have find the intrinsic? It should. Let's attack this, and then we can experiment with them. So we go back to the structure. So here, we look at the code. It's the same pattern as we talked about. So if you call attack, attack is going to call withdraw with the total balance of that address. And it's going to send the fallback. It's going to get the fallback. I mean, the withdrawal is going to call the fallback. And if address does, that the target is more than one ether, it would try again. So I guess I have to send some money to that address first. Yeah, it's already not more than one ether. I'm just going to send one ether to this address to make sure. So let's try this, because at the end we're going to try Mintex to see if it can find this. So there is no input because we already passed the constructor the target. We just call attack. One way. Anyways, like I guess you got the whole point. Like I'm not sure if I have to debug this now, but you can see that if the attack is successful, it should run something like this. Or yeah, this is the right contract. This is the one, okay. It worked then.
Is it because you're...
Yeah, it worked, but this is the transaction we sent out, and they internally tried to send. I really confused myself here. Let's try to do something cooler. Let's try many things here.
Sorry, I got a question. Actually, we check both conditions, both the left gas and the balance.
Okay. Yeah, so here, like, there's an arbitrary check. It just checks that the target balance has like more than one ether. And the problem here is our sends to less of the money, so it has to run like multiple transactions. So if I send like 0.1 ether, it's going to be much easier to like attack it right now.
No, but in general, on the safe side, because we can divide due to two different reasons. Yes.
Yeah.
We should obviously check both conditions.
Yeah. So if you want to do that, you can do like instead of this check, can do if I think gas, yeah, gas left is like less than I think you can do 2300 for a transfer, and if it is gas left, then like just return and don't continue with that. So something like this could work also as well. But one thing I'm excited to do is to see how Mitex would find us and just run it on the original one. So this is the contract that is vulnerable, so we can run Mitex here, challenge 4, analyze.
Are you logged in as a user?
Yes. I think I better email that my beta is like
We'll see. We'll get you in. We'll get you an account.
Yeah. So it can take up to 2 minutes. And start traveling.
I learned this trick from Rain. No, it's not a drilling trick, I'm just quoting them because I get social anxiety. Let's like to be what questions do people have about security? What anxieties do people have about like writing smart contracts? We're like quote unquote security experts. What could you really like get out of this in a few minutes if you could ask us a couple questions? Does anybody, have you like deployed a contract to the mainnet? It like crumbled, whatever the hell, yeah. How did that feel?
Scary
as hell, right?
Quite honestly, I had my Koi, I had my gas at my gas at DevNet. So it was super fast, it took like 3 seconds or something, and it cost me $200.
Right, but that was that $200 to like minimize the time that you.
Oh yeah, the contract went super. Yeah. It was like better than that. Yeah.
And this is you're Chris from Maker, is that correct?
Yeah,
Chris.
Yeah, this is a personal time. First time I've.
I had personally, I've never deployed anything of consequence to the mainnet, like my stuff. But I've never like deployed anything that like matters a lot. So I'm okay with that. Okay. Anybody else?
I deploy most with MySQL wallet.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. Sorry.
By
code,
only.
Yeah, dating yourself.
I try to use the protocol within Twitter, but not working every night.
Yeah.
And then I use the half.
Sorry, half a what?
Half an ether.
Half an ether to
and
pay for it.
And if they send me a remix, and it's 0.01.
Huh.
Yes.
Gas calculation or estimation
is
hard.
Yes.
Has anybody ever like had a contract hacked on you, or like lost money in some, in the many ways that you can lose money in this world that you're comfortable sharing? I have.
I have to.
Really? Nobody? This one? Okay.
So, John, yeah, talking about the point of mainnet. When do you know you're ready?
Once we've audited your contract.
Oh.
I don't know.
So I would say after clicking, like, deploy, that's...
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like, you... have done all you can, right? There's a point of diminishing return when, like, there's just no other, like, you write a blog post and, like, you read it, you can't do anything. You can't even see your own typos. So then you get somebody else to do it. That's us. You're prepared. You're, like, well prepared. I have a blog post about preparing for a smart contract audit. I'll tweet that right away. But, yeah, so, like, there's a lot of things you can do to not get a very good result from an audit by just like dropping some code with no documentation on us. Or you can like do your work internally up front to be really ready for it. Come to us like well in advance. Maybe we decide that the best thing to do is to like work with you for a few days just to like give you like, hey, like fix this, delete this, and then like you'll get a better audit because like we'll be able to focus just on like going deeper. And I think that's like being well prepared for an audit can make like an audit more affordable and effective for most people. And I think like most, even smaller teams that like aren't maker can afford to like write documentation if they're willing to take the time to do it. And usually if you write good documentation or specs for your code, like you, sure, you just hacked out the code. Maybe you wrote tests first, in which case you're like doing great, way ahead of the curve. But then if you like sit and you're like, try to communicate in prose, like just plain English to someone else what your code does, you have to read it. And I guarantee you'll find like something, you'll like be like, well wait, does it actually do that thing when this happens? And you'll read it again, you'll be like, oh no, it actually does something I did not think it does.
That's a great way to find bugs.
Highly recommended, yeah.
In line with that, like writing inline comments and documentation and one overall what this app should do is similar to that. Then when you want to explain, you can see the line of code and the comment is like, is it what I'm saying they should do? Like that helps a lot. Like you don't need to pick graphs and charts that explain that. Verna, do you want to talk
about that? Yeah. So we have with actual results.
Actually, you have to be pro to see this.
So we have a free and a pro version. And the entrance is actually limited to the premium version. So I'm going to show you that on my machine. So basically, the result you get is these two things, and they are both relevant for the attack. So whenever you make a low-level call, like here to another contract, then the EVM gets all the gas that is still left to execute the other contract's code. And if you do that, then and then you should never change the world state after you did it, because if that contract is untrusted, then this change might never happen because the other contract can re-enter that contract, right? So that's the thing we warn about with MIFX. And if you move this line up here, up over the call, then the issue is fixed, because then the balance will be detected the first time already, and it won't matter if you react.
That's that check MIFX interactions.
Right.
And one thing I just wanted to show, do you have the chat in this here?
Yeah. So on this link, there is a README file. Like, I'm not going to show the last slide again, but there is this best practices that it's open source. A lot of contribution has been done, and that please read that. There's a lot of good things there. And if you see any mistakes, just tell us or fix that there. This is captured on Ether. That some of the challenges were based on that. You can just play around and do CTF style things. And hack contracts, it's really fun. This is how you can find us on Twitter. And also, if you're interested in auditing, either as a client or reading the audit reports, you can find all our blog posts, audit reports that we're now public, all there. It's really interesting to see the bugs that were found, how they were fixed, and they're all there. And I guess we have like 2 minutes-ish left. So thank you for being here, our stickers, and juggling balls up back there. And thanks.